from all of these. Another one?
Yes.
Okay. Department? Any apologies? Deputy Minister?
Chairperson, thank you. Two apologies. Minister and the DG both out of the country. Technically, the DG should be here as the encouraging officer. But the DG is also an ambassador, and so quite often he is sent out of the country by both the minister and the chairperson. The minister is also away, so please note their apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. Arab Bumla?
Yes, Honourable Chair, I have an engagement. Unfortunately, there's a clash in the committee, and there's a very, very important, also very important engagement that I have. I would want to apologize for being not here while I'm here.
Can I understand you would like to pay
excuse
now or while the meeting is running you will quietly
let me go.
Okay. Noted. No further apologies. The agenda with regard to item number 3, can we speak to the agenda? Well, we're going to receive a briefing by the department on its quarterly financial report of the fourth quarter. That will be the fourth quarter of 2013 and 14, and the third quarter of 2014 and 15. Those are the reports. The last quarter of 2013 and 14, and the first quarter of 14 and 15. Those are the reports, and they're going to have an engagement on that. Can we speak to the adoption of the agenda? And the last thing is the announcement. Not any announcement.
Chairperson, before I speak on the issue of the adoption of the agenda, I'd like to make an appeal to you, Chair, that when we deal with the annual report, we must ensure that the accounting officer is here. Because really, this report is very important. That's why the department is accounting. So we very appreciate the accounting officer to be part of the delegation so that if we engage in case that, then from the issue then, I propose that we adopt the report.
Thank you. Honorable Kalapa.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to second the proposal made by Honorable Hadden that much as we appreciate and understand that the DG is the ambassador he is sent from time to time overseas, but I think as an accounting officer, and I think the deputy minister made that point quite adequately, that as an accounting officer he should be here because there are issues that are directly linked to him that would want answers from him as an accounting officer, and we would definitely request that when you're dealing with general performance actually, because of it's one of the most important documents that will help us to craft the PRRR report, and we would like to have quite very informed and reliable information from with that upon the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mokhalaba.
Therefore, the determination is that we are receiving a briefing on the quarterly report, but when it comes to the annual report, the accounting officer must be here. That must be clear. That much must be clear to the DG. I'm now going to hand over to the Deputy Minister, then ask to give some few words if he wants to, and then he can then hand over to the person going to present the quarterly report on financial report on behalf of the department. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Chairperson, thank you, and once more it's a privilege and pleasure to appear before the Portfolio Committee, and I thank you for the opportunity. With me is the Chief Financial Officer in the Department, Mr. Rochelle, on my immediate left. Next to Mr. Rochelle is Mr.
Zahir Amin, who is the head of my staff in the office. Mr. Ramashal will be presenting to the portfolio committee the expenditure report for the 2013 fourth quarter and 2014-15 first quarter. Just a few comments, if I may, Chairman. You will find in this report the audit outcomes in which the Auditor General makes some adverse and serious findings. You will find that in the previous four or five financial years, the Auditor General, he gives you a color-coded report. And if you get a green, it means you find green for gold, as in the traffic light. But the orange or yellow is caution or warning. And you are then expected to take the necessary steps to ensure that at some point he does not then give you an adverse finding. Now you're finding what is the outcome of that, it's all red. And that emanates from the fact that for the past four or five financial years, there were clear warnings from the Auditor General's office, from the department, to take the necessary steps to ensure they can get back to the green for gold. Now, when I was made chair of the Justice Portfolio Committee, Chairperson, I think I should share this with you to give you an understanding of what our attitude should be towards the Auditor General's reports and his findings on the department's performance. Minister Jeff Kayada called his top officials to his office. I heard it via the grapevine, and so I'm open to correction, but I'm pretty certain that it is an accurate account of what transpired. And he said to them, I've been in this parliament since 1994, and I've observed you officials. You abused the First Minister of Justice, Dalla Omar. I saw you abuse his successor, and I saw you also abuse his successor. Now, I am now the Minister of Justice, and I'm telling you now, you will not abuse me. Every year, without fail, your department, which I am the political head, receives adverse findings from the Auditor General. Please understand, it's going to stop now. When I heard this, I said, well, because for some time now, the Honourable Becky Hadede and I and others have debated this issue, and we said, well, yes, it's true that in terms of the law, the Director General is authorized to be the accounting officer. And from our experience, we found that the political heads have tended to say, well, it's actually the accounting officer's problem, not mine. We don't agree with that. We've never agreed with that. We've always said, there comes a point when the political head who appointed the accounting officer has to say, well, I'm not happy with it. And so, Chairperson, there must be a zero-tolerance approach when it comes to matters of this nature. And so when we received this report, we took it to what we call the Executive Management Committee. And harsh words were exchanged in that meeting. Executive Management Committee is all the DDGs, the DG, the minister, my colleague and comrade, DM Fakedo, and we all sit there and discuss a variety of issues because so much is happening throughout the world. And then, of course, amongst other things, we discuss this report. And in that meeting, we made it clear to everyone that it's unacceptable. And so we need someone to explain to us what steps they intend taking to address what is contained in this report. Now, we've also said to the CFO, the DG, and the minister that they must expect to be summoned or requested to appear before SOPA. And so, with those few words, Chairperson, I'm going to ask the CFO to take you through the report put it into you what steps they can take in to address the matters that are driving this journey. Thank you.
Amishao.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Good morning, welcome, members. The report that I will present is the outcome of the work that was done in the fourth quarter, the 2013-14, and the first quarter, 2014-15, in terms of the budget that was allocated to the department. The report will cover the expenditure report, which is a summary for the year, as well as the audit outcome and the quarterly report for the 2014-15. And in that, we also highlight the African Resilience Fund in terms of the budget, as well as the commitment and the progress report in terms of how far we have gone in that process. The expenditure report, honourable members, is on page 4, which we have received a budget of 5,754,000,000. At the end of the financial year, which is the fourth quarter, we then spent 5,871,000,000, which then incur a loss, which becomes an unauthorized expenditure of 116,000,000. So the loss is as a result of the depreciation of rents, which we then incur to after the adjustment estimate process were finalized. So this is a spending that was recorded. Just to highlight, honourable members, that the overspending also had an impact in terms of the cash that the department had to manage towards the end of the financial year. We had to suspend certain projects in order to then honour the commitment, which is basically salary, in order to avoid any unrest in terms of staff not receiving their salary. So we then have to record that as such. And the high level that we also have challenges is with regard to the transfer payments that we only receive the assessment on the fourth quarter, which is basically the AU as well as the UN in terms of the assessment. Those, their budget or their financial year begins in January, which is coming after we have finished the quarter of the financial year, and we are required to honor those payments within a stipulated time frame. Honourable members, we can then move to the audit outcome. As the Deputy Minister has highlighted, that the report for 2018, which we want to share with the committee, which we are aware that we still need to come and table this during the annual report. So based on the outcome of the audit, we have then provided an analysis of audit opinion over the first year period. In the 2019 financial year, the department received an unqualified audit opinion, which then indicated that it was green. There were no significant matters that were raised in that financial year. In the 2010-11, we then received an unqualified audit with additional matters, which is matters of emphasis. The matters of emphasis were then related to the previous amount objectives in terms of the performance information, as well as the management of assets. The same opinion was received in 11-12, which related to management of assets, as well as the pre-terminal objectives. In 2012-13, same trend continued in terms of that area. So in the 2018-14, which is the year that we now receive a qualification, which is really unfortunate, and we regret to indicate that we have since received this. And the basis of qualification was on the view that the department has not improved and we still have repeat findings. And the repeat findings is basically on management of assets, which we then, but which relate to the non-existence in terms of the audit that they have done in terms of the assets, and the other area is completeness in terms of how we then prepare our fixed asset register. We do have a fixed asset register within the department, and then the other part is how we reconcile the information that we receive from the units that are abroad. We do have 125 missions abroad with 700 officials in terms of what we provide. And the significant improvement was on the performance information. In that AGM motor, which I think they were able to share the committee when they come to present the outcome of the audit during the tabling of the annual report. So now if we can indicate the key findings, which go to detail is the management of assets, which is asset management, and two, irregular expenditure and non-compliance with a 30-day payment period. So and the analysis, if we can share with all our members in terms of how is the composition of our asset portfolio, that we manage as a department, we've got immovable assets, which then consist of chancery, which is offices abroad, 125 offices, as well as residence, official residence, that is for accommodation for heads of missions, as well as staff accommodation, which is which was then owned in this case, which I'll then explain more in the next slide. And also we have movable assets, which then are categorized as major in terms of the economic value, which is more than 5,000 rand, and which consists of motor vehicles, office and domestic furniture, and office and domestic equipment. Then we have also minor assets. This is minor assets as defined by National Treasury, which are movable assets in terms of the economic value. Any asset that meets the definition in terms of the lifespan, not necessarily talking about the value. If it can be utilized for more than 1 year, then see the definition of an asset, which consists of domestic office, office furniture, as well as domestic furniture, office and domestic equipment, all the visual and gardening equipment. These are some of the equipment that we have, and also intangible assets, which consists of software applications and patent. So the next slide, number, this is how we then spend our environment. See how many assets do we have in our department. Currently we have 167,901 assets. This is what we have, the total number of assets that we have. So the composition in terms of the breakdown, we've got immovable assets, which then includes the chancer, the residences, which is for official and staff accommodation, which is 135 properties. Then in terms of the number of locations, we indicate in terms of where this they are located in 94 locations, and we then have custodians in terms of who is responsible of monitoring this in terms of the management. The total value of the asset is 5,126,000,000, which is the asset portfolio. So on this area, on Abrugaba, we don't have any findings on this. We have all the deeds to prove it's only two properties that we still trying to get, that is in Iran, Iran, as well as Mozambique in terms of that. But all those matters are with the legal department in terms of accountability. So there we have also two properties that are valued at 100, which were then donated to the government, which we are currently in terms of the value. But all properties were then done the evaluation in terms of taking them at the fair value in terms of the 5 billion that we indicated. Immovable and major, which is number of assets, is 21,810, and the number of locations is 5,175, and custodian is 3,122, and the total value is 667 million. So this is the vehicles that I said to in terms of the gift, and the tables and all the furniture that are basically movable, but they are major, they are more than 5,000. Then the intangible assets, we've got 44,000, and then the location is 4 locations, and the custodian is 3, and the value of that is 27 million. Honorable members, where we have challenged is the immovable minor assets. This is where we've got large quantities of assets, which is 105,912, which is the highest level, and the value for that is 131 million, which is the total value. So this is where we have challenges in terms of the asset register, in terms of how updated. When the register was, the asset register was very implemented, what we did was that we took all the assets at one rate, but there was no strategy on how we then move in terms of accounting. We just counting the assets, but without necessarily how we're going to account, because currently there's no depreciation of assets in terms of the standards that we are currently using in government. So we don't do depreciation. So the register was compliant based on the compliance issue to say that assets. So now in terms of the category of asset management members, we, in terms of the core, as all these residents, the official residents, we use assets, if you can use that word, or glass, which is got national symbol, and the place that we use. They're all called coat of arms. They've had their gold plated in terms of that process. So now the way we have then managed that was that we were not able to keep an inventory and updating that. And one of the challenges was that there were no financial systems that are linked in terms of updating that. So I'll talk to the issue of the challenges that we see in terms of this return finding, which is page 12, which indicated its existence. The Auditor General went and conducted an audit. For the period 2013-2014, they visited 20 nations. They turned the interim, which is basically in October, and turned in February, March, as part of the final audit. So then they find that they feel a challenge in terms of existence, to say we give them an asset register, when they go to the floor, they don't find the asset, which is basically defined in terms of that process. And that the asset not physically verified, because they look at the location where the asset is supposed to be in terms of that process. They don't say whether they was moved, if it was moved to another area, there should be a paper trail that shows that. Then the other part was, which are the two issues, the completeness, to say they find in some instance asset on the floor, but which is not on the asset register in terms of that. So those are the issues that they've raised, and they say they noted that we are not doing our physical verification often. We are committed to perform physical verification of assets on a quarterly basis, which is in terms of the number of locations, it was not able to be possible to do that. So we then see how best we deal with those issues. And in terms of the addition and disposal, which was not done on a frequent basis, which was not done timelessly in terms of that. Because we did have a hard care system that we use in terms of the process of managing the assets, and also to then reconcile in terms of our reporting financial system that we have in government, which is the basic accounting system. And another member, we have implemented measures in the third and fourth quarter, which based on the audit that they done in the interim, which we then take to say how we best resolve the updating of the asset tenant, to say how do we do that. We then roll out the management of the assets to the custodians, which is basically the mission. So we then implemented what we call a web browser system, so that when they move the assets, they will be able to do that on the mission side, not necessarily sending hard copies to office, which there was a delay in terms of that process and created challenge in terms of who's responsible. And then we then also look at the issue of how best do we then improve the relation with mission as the center responsible for that. So we then decentralize that services, which in the current mission that doing their updating. From head of it, we're not able to do, just verify in terms of how often they've done in terms of the audit. And then we then use the scanning device. For the first time, we were using in the previous 3 years, a compliance risk that we are receiving from mission, and we are basing our conclusion on that. And hence, when auditors go to perform audits, they still find findings. Hence, then we then implemented a scanning device, where we call it, where the assets are scanned in the barcode so that we can see in terms of the audit rate when was the last audit performed. So there, that's where we had challenged in terms of managing that, which we all machines conducted that scanning, but unfortunately they didn't able to trace all the assets before we then submitted our financial statement for 2013. And the additional measure in terms of turnaround, so to say, what are the additional measures that we need to do? To say we've rolled out the web browser, but the scanning device, because all these systems were done in a fragmented manner, they were not integrated. We then look at to say all these data files that they generate from the scanning, they should be able to do that automatically. If there are exceptions, they should be in a position to follow those exceptions without getting any requests from head office, so that they have not completed that. So we are looking at to say they were able to do the same approach that we use with the reporting of our financials in terms of the expenditure that is incurred in mission, that there's no human intervention, they do it from their side and then it goes to the system directly. Like the same way when salaries are paid to from CETA, no one within the department interacts with that, which gives the low reliability. And we also, for the first time, to look at the catalog to say, we have a minor asset, which we then say we need to engage with treasury, which we have started, in terms of how they come with another charter of account. To say, in our case, we've got flex and 10, which in other areas become an asset. But these are the flex that we fly in the ocean, which in terms of extreme weather conditions, they don't last long. In terms of that process. So that's part that saying we need to separate the consumables in the nature of work that we do and within how we classify an asset, which will be making progress with National Treasury in terms of how we deal with this in terms of the work. So we've started the process, but we will hold out this on the 1st of October in terms of standard. And we've invited all the corporate service managers to come on the second week of September, which is part of the corrective measure. So we've identified that there are other missions that is performing the verification, but they have confirmed that they have done in the past, which we are dealing with that in terms of the corrective measures that we need to do. And the part of the reporting to say, functionally, because now the way we structure the department is very rich, and the work of the corporate service staff. So one of the issues is that we need to then have a direct reporting line in terms of issues of compliance. The same way that the finance team reports directly to finance in terms of the national treasury. So this is the same approach in terms of how then mitigate that, which will then have a coordinating unit that will then oversee and monitor on a regular basis, so that we don't wait for the end of the financial year, because we won't be able to deal with the issues timely and will create a backlog. So honorable members, the other part that we was the finding which we want to raise, which talks the same issue of assets, which becomes a non-compliance. If now auditor general raised for more than 2 years, we then need the department to be qualified for non-compliance. So one of the issues indicated is the contract and quotation awarded, which we then find the difficulty in terms of how do we do that. So in the past, we used to have a decentralized approach, which we then want to encourage efficiency in terms of how machines, but in how we structured, found that other machines, they don't have capacity to have all the committees that are required by national trainers in terms of monitoring the procurement. Then we've implemented measures where we established a bid committee in December to say we then have a specification committee, we have got evaluation committee, as well as the adjudication committee. All these committees are then have categories in terms of services, in terms of the thresholds that is aligned with the national treasury. And in order to give effect to this, we also look at the delegation of authority, the financial delegation. So we need to update it in terms of the directive that we have received from treasury in line with the containment measure. We are finalizing that process, which then require us to deal with the standard operating procedure in terms of the guidelines on how to manage or implement that. And we also emphasize to say that all our procurement will be based on the demand management plan, so that whatever we procure is budgeted and is paid within a time frame, so that we are managing. And we do have a tracking system in terms of how to identify deviation, because we don't want to then, when we identify deviation, one of the issues for us to then implement necessary controls so that we can mitigate that. And the quality assurance, one of the issues that we have in terms of the emergence of technology, we have the pre and post checking of invoices that we need to pay, or the payment advice before they are finalized in terms of the money. The third part, Honorable Chair, is the non-compliance with 30-day payment period. So this is one of the issues that has been raised as finally in terms of our turnaround time. One of the issues that we've identified was that the submission of invoices were going directly to the user, which then makes it very difficult to track. So we then implemented a centralized point of receiving these invoices so that we can manage that process better. And we then implemented a tracking system in terms of how we then manage that, which talks to the service delivery improvement plan that is developed to say how many days in terms of the balance sheet and invoice be in a particular section, which then will then streamline that process. So we can report that the improvement in terms of how we are reporting that, in terms of the huge improvement will be on the second quarter report in terms of how we are performing in that. We can move to the fourth, the 2020 first quarter report in terms of the expenditure. The appropriate budget for the department is 5,754,324,000. This is the appropriated for the year. In terms of the program 1, with 1.3 billion. International Relations Office, our program 2, 2.8 billion. International Cooperation, 460 million. And Public Diplomacy and Protocol, 370, which then includes the money for inauguration that we hosted in May, and also the transfer payment, 734 million. The Honorable Chair, the projected spending for the first 3 months that we then requested from National Treasury was the 1.4 billion, which is what we committed that we would spend within the first 3 months. But the actual expenditure is 89% of what we have projected in terms of what we've accounted for in the budget.
All the houses, I want us to discuss the last quarter report. Otherwise we're going to make issues, because I think members must be able to seek clarity, to make comments, observations on the fourth quarter report of January until the 31st May 2013 and 14, and conclude that, because it belongs to the other financial year, and get into the business of this financial year, which is the fourth quarter report. Are you done now? Can I then invite... okay, thank you very much for your presentation. Honourable members, I now want to invite your comments, your observations, your clarification questions arising from the presentation of the last quarter financial report. And members must be reminded that we are looking at the quarterly financial report in relation to checking whether it assists the department to deliver on its mandate. Is the money sufficient? Does the money allow the department to do what it was supposed to do, what happened with regard to the spending of the money, etc. The main thing is there are two things that we must look at. Is the money financial, as well as the issue of delivery, whether delivery has been negatively impacted upon. I want to now defer to you for comments, if there are any, of course. Honorable Kalamba.
Thank you very much, Chair President.
I think it's quite very much deceptive and unacceptable that we have to have such advent or defining. And I think it's due to the serial offense in one of the key issues, and I think all the members would agree on the issue of asset management because we've been following it up. But that is how the auditor general work. If you are a serial offender in one key issue that they always raise as a matter of concern, it ends up with you having an adverse finding. So yes, we are not happy with the adverse finding, and we hope that in the next audit outcome will be addressed. The question I had was on the issue of I must just find the page here. I was convinced on this one that the contract and quotation awarded to Eden, who did not submit a declaration on whether they are employed by the state or connected to any person employed by the state, which is described in order from Private Pleasure Relations that sufficient measures have been put in place to ensure that this does not happen again. What measures, because of I think the same old respect to capacity problem, and I think it's one of the challenges that we need to overcome. So I still need to be convinced on what measures have been done to ensure that this has been addressed. And then I think the CFO referred again to the issue of the spinning device implemented, but said there was lack of trading assets, because that is the problem. Electronically we can record this asset, but the problem is whether they are there physically on the ground. And I think that is what the AG's mission was on this vending machine they visited. So how is the department going to ensure that what they capture electronically is there physically? I think it goes to the big issue of the asset management. Thank you.
Thank you, Honor Halapa, Honor Fadema.
Thank you, Chairperson. It is unfortunate that it took a red flag to make the department to do its job. It's very unfortunate because for three financial years, the boilers were there, that there were problems. And then it took a red flag to come with this innovative solution. So let's hope that these solutions are going to work. But what I'm concerned about, Chair, is this issue of the everyday pay materials. You know, if you don't pay the service providers within 30 days, it means that you are destroying them. Because some of the service providers live from hand to mouth. It means that if they don't get that payment, they'll be unable to stop for the next project that involves it. They'll be unable to pay their own workers. I don't think that is acceptable. We cannot accept that as for global issue. I think that thing must rectify as of yesterday. I think that was the first one. When coming to the issue of spinning chairs, it means that we are entering the ICT sector. And then from the report we had, the department has got a problem with the issue, with its own ICT. So how are we going to ensure that because of your outdated ICT which you are using, you don't want to hamper it when you come back next year. I think that aspect must be addressed. And then the last one, Chair, because I believe in asking three questions. The last one, Chair, will be the issue of the officials who must left the headquarters. Those guys who didn't verify. He said that we're dealing with compliance certificate coming to the issue of the assets. But when we look back, we found that those guys didn't do the work. How many have been called through the disciplinary process so that those things do not recur again? Thank you, Chair. I'm thank you, Mr. Potter.
Thank you for the presentation. I was just looking at measurements that you have put in place in relation to the asset management. And I think, you know, we must be very strict in this asset management, whereby I think if we can also put a bullet, let's say, that there should be monthly report of the assets so that people can be on the toes, in order that we should not really get this red flag. And then on the issue of irregular expenditure, I think it's a misconduct. It is a misconduct which really officials must really be disciplined on page 15. You know, goods and services procured without following supply chain, and it's a misconduct. And then for the issue of what is that? I think for now I will just stop.
Honorable Maila.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me also welcome the report by the CFO and the Deputy Minister. I also want to concur with Honorable Mahala, but we are not happy with this outcome. And without belaboring the point, I just want to check this issue of the way it is done by assembly. How reliable is it? Because obviously the Auditor General's office does not visit all the chancery. Is it possible that in future maybe we can have a real picture by the audit being done in all sides, if possible?
Honorable Kalyan.
Thank you. On a lighter note, this tracking of the assets system, I don't know if it's tried and tested, but let me give you an example of how Public Works tracks all the furniture in Acacia Park. They come and put a barcode on it, and they barcode your bed, barcode the curtains, the fridge, the toilet fan, everything. And 6 months later they come and do it again. And 6 months later they do it again, and there's never a balance of it. Now first of all, it's ridiculous to barcode curtains and toilet seat. But when you say you're going to be scanning, what are you scanning? And where are these assets? Are they all overseas assets? Is it the local assets? Is it at head office? Or where? I have a question with regard to the tender. I read an advert in the paper about maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago where the department, DERCO, had put out a tender for furniture for the mission in Japan. Now, when I looked at it, it looked to be ridiculous, because you want someone in South Africa to tender for this furniture, then they must make it, and they must ship it, and all that. So the cost starts to build up. So on the one hand, I was looking at that, but on the other hand, I was thinking, okay, maybe Japanese people can't do African stuff, and you want the African team, so, you know, that could be a reason. But I'd be interested to know why you put adverts for mission overseas, why you would put it locally. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kalyan. Honorable Montan, are you now ready?
Thank you very much, Chair. You know, I think the first thing is that the last time we discussed this, Honorable Kenny was saying to me, no, there were unqualified audits, etc., that the department was experiencing. And I was simply making a caution. And I think it's 3 years. There's two issues we're dealing with. One is the issue of finances, and the other is the issue of assets. So we need to separate the two issues, so that we're able to get clarity, so that we don't cloud and use one to overshadow the other issues. You know, Chair, I want to ask a few questions. I'm not going to ask the Honorable Khadija, but I'm going to ask a few questions, but also make input. Maybe they can come back to me. The first thing I want to raise is that if the department is in jail, I want to ask a ridiculous question. And the accounting officer is outside of the country, and we know that the department is facing these challenges. Wouldn't it be so difficult to insist that the accounting officer of the department resolve these issues and make sure that there is that level of accountability on where these assets and finances, you know, play some kind of a moratorium before the issue of, you know, going outside while the department has got these challenges. This is 3 years ongoing. This is the fourth year now that they are in the bed. I think it's necessary that the department takes a decision about how, because you don't want there to be seemingly rushes all over the department because it's something that must be managed from the level of accountability. The other issue is that maybe we can just get a big breakdown a bit more of the 116 million that was overspent. I think it's here, but just to get more of a sense around it. So I'm concerned here because I will tell you the other thing I want to ask is about donation. What is this donation? This is not difficult, you know. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what is difficult? I'm going to interpret it the way I understand, and then the CFO will tell me if my interpretation is incorrect. On page 10, I just want to give some guidance on how I would create an asset management plan very quickly. CFO. Number of locations means where these assets are found, and custodians are the people who are in charge of all these assets in actuals. Now, the other problem the department faces is management. Because if 3,122 people cannot manage 5,100 or cannot in those locations, it's just an average of 2 to 3 people per location, if that's what I'm trying to, if that's what it, the issue is. Now, I'm not expecting it to be a facility as big as the department. I mean, it's a simple issue of a few people managing those assets. It means that they either the head mission or the accounting officer itself needs to have, I think the issue of saying that, no, you need to have scanning and everything. It's there, it's correct, I agree, we need to be technologically in the program. But tomorrow when a chair breaks, you go out and you buy another chair and then you can't scan it or it's not, it's all of those other things. I'm saying that there are some things that must be done through a accountability, through the accounting office of the department. Simply because I think the issue is saying what level of management is there. Does it mean that people who are heading missions are not saying that we must take responsibility for assets in the mission? It means that now we're relating all of these assets all over the world to the office of the CFO, which is correct. But it means that they are not taking individual responsibility. I mean, the Auditor General's office went on purchasing to 20 missions when the staff of the department should have taken responsibility for that process. So I think that really accountability must be managed at the level of the department. People must be told to tell us what's in their office. It's as simple as that. What is in their house? Just go around and you know, so that there is then an assessment that is made. The excessive issue that came up in the last meeting chair of where it was 15 million to change a house or something because of excessive, I don't know how many million it was in pounds. That is an exceptional circumstance because we know that, you know, the building is essential, etc. But here all I'm asking is that we are able to apply a very common sense approach in terms of management. And that will involve, I think that on the issue of compliance, I raised it in the last meeting as well, around the issue of risk and compliance, to ask where is that important in terms of, because some of the things that we are looking at in terms of irregular expenditure, I'm concerned about it, because it's not as simple as saying, where are the assets physically, are they existing? I mean, the irregular expenditure speaks to issues of goods and services procured without following procedure. And these are serious things that we need to take into consideration. I'm glad that the department is looking at establishing committees, but evaluating committees, etc. But I'm saying that those are things that we need a deeper detail on. I'm also looking at page 17. in terms of interest charge and penalties for late payments. I think that these are very small contributions. I'm not sure if this has to some extent or the other contributed to the overspending. So it's why I'm going back to the point of asking the CFO to give us that detail of the 116 million. Just so that we can have a sense of whether it's negligence, because these are questions CFO we raised before. Is it pure negligence, or is it the fact that the department is unable to hold its own in terms of its accountability? I think that I'm fine. And the issue that I just want to close on page 17 is a potential concern for frivolous and wasteful expenditure over and above irregular expenditure, which I think if the department goes in that, including overspending, there is in a serious crisis in terms of the PFNA, let alone the auditor general and assets. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm at a disadvantage because I came late, so I'm not going to go very much into the issues of detail. But I'm glad that everybody is expressing the concerns that they're addressing. Comrades, this department, but let me start by saying, when it comes to international matters, citizens of every country act as patriots. You discuss your own differences at home, but when it comes to the image of the country outside, ranks must be close. And on the question of international relations, we require this more than anywhere else. Looking at this situation of our international relations department, where we've been in the red, I'm glad that the Deputy Minister is here, over so many years, the question that comes to my mind is, how secure is the information related to our country in nations that are operating without sufficient resources? In my previous life as minister, visiting various nations around the world, we were often given reports of how missions that are in the rest of other countries would sometimes take information and come and sell it, therefore try to sell it. Because you put men and women out there, and when you expose them to temptation, because you're not managing your resources and all of that efficiently, is disastrous for the country. And I do want to say, when we talk about patriotic opposition, we talk about criticizing not to score points, but to ensure that the country, certainly relative to other countries, is better. And I would have appreciated in the Rada Mashaw, the president that is here where you are, that Ramashaw is the same name, that when you do this, you must also take it into confidence to say, as a result of these difficulties, they create other problems for our country. Because now, in that nation, this problem has arisen, in that it has arisen. Unless members of parliament understand the gravity of this thing that you are reporting, understand it thoroughly, and understand its depth, they will not be able to respond in a manner that will enable the country to urgently correct this situation. Now, you can tell me that this desk missing, he was on reported as in there, but when the auditor general got there, he was not there. I want to know what happened to that computer that is appeared there. What happened to that thing that was? Why is it? The computer said, okay, it's lost. Maybe security is one. Even the people, because foreign missions employ a lot of people of those other countries. And some of them come in, if they have access, if they need friends, they can be used also to buy information under these, you know, this matter that we're telling. I think to you, and I was alarmed about the hearing that we are not doing as we should be doing, and we are not sensitized sufficiently to know that our country is not doing as well as it is doing. And I can now understand that the other time I met one of the people from Zimbabwe, who essentially from my point of view, nobody, but said to me, well, you guys are clowns, South African clowns. That has suggested that there's something that other countries are beginning to think about as we begin to be. So I just want to make this observation that you want to, when you report to us, as you might sensitize that even actually in other countries, when they give reports to their parliament and everything, I tell them to give them thorough information. Because the difference between men and women in the executive, in parliament, versus the others, if the other guys have got more information, more accurate information than ourselves, we will not be able to respond, but to enable you to respond in a manner that protects our country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Kota. For me, there are just one or two things. I think that since the Department on Foreign Exchange, the challenges you have there, your sins can be forgiven when it comes to this one. But on the fact that the Auditor General has made the kind of findings that he has made, it's not acceptable, because over the years, the previous 3 years, you had a very clean audit. You see, your 2009, 10, your 11, 12, 13, you are supposed to learn from yourself. So the reason why your sins can't be forgiven is that you're degenerating. Now, you must ask yourself why you're degenerating. Has there been a change of leadership in terms of the DG or the CFO? What really has happened? Or is it because now the Auditor General insists on auditing assets? I know that even in other departments, once the Auditor General said the assets of a department are auditable, and the financials of those assets will also be attached. There are many departments that did not find it correct at that time. But in this specific instance, I wonder if you discuss thoroughly with the Auditor General. But at least you know that the whole thing arises from completeness and existence. And this is an area of work that the department will have to test. Now, I wonder if you have tried to make some lessons in other departments that may have assets outside the country. I'm not sure if the DPI has got anything outside South Africa, or the Defence Force, or whichever other department, and how they are audited in this regard. But I'm worried, and the question is not being put to you, but you must just hear it. I'm worried that the Auditor General samples, I don't know why they do that. You have 125 missions, and then they go and visit 20, and they want to get a stamp that must inform Parliament that this is how this department looks like. And 20 missions, and what is the percentage of this meeting? Of these 20 missions, I don't know what percentage it is, but it could be a very low percentage. And it is possible that therefore that perennially you could be judged wrongly because there's this either wrong meeting or there's what they are seeing. Now, I think it's a matter that we might have to raise with the Auditor General so that they can increase their capacity. At least they must be out of 125, at least 50 for that, so that they've got a good picture of how the department looks like, and then advise Parliament and advise your concerns. I note that there are no explanation of acronyms, HATCAT, what, browsing. There are so many acronyms. If you don't work in this department, you don't know what you're talking about. My advice is that let's put it somewhere and explain all of these acronyms. The last one is on, no, the last two is the declaration of the contract that we're talking about of people, whether they're working in the department or working for the state. When is this enforceable? For now, it's presently regulation 16A83. When is it enforceable, and when is the department going to ensure that there is compliance? The payment over 30 days, does it mean that the payment or the expenditure that arose from the funeral of President Mandela, that's 5th December, so it falls in this court, does it have all the people claim have they paid? But I'm also worried whether the point of payment or the point of submitting invoices, if the purchase was in the nation, is it brought to head office from China, from Hong Kong, brought to head office in the head luggage, so that we have the adequate speed up? Because we are in violation of the TFMA and various states of the nation addresses of the president, and including the previous president. Yeah. You have, it's 11:30, you have about 10 or 12 minutes to respond, and then we get an explanation. You also engage into it, so that it could be done by around 12, they say. 12. Over to you and other members of the department. Over to you, Mashao.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Welcome the guidance that you have received. And indeed, Chairperson, we are also not happy with the outcome of the report, because our approach was that we will then move towards a key audit in the next, and not to then go back to regress. Just to indicate, Honorable Chair, the report in terms of the forex, if you can go back to the figure, the overstanding share, the part that I want to highlight, Honorable Chair, the auditor generalist had audited the financial statement, and in their opinion, they said the financial statement fairly present the financial state of the department. So in that part, we are unqualified on that area. So the, even when we have an authorized expenditure of 160, we then provided the details that relate to that. And we are happy to say it was something that was beyond the department's control. So which then they said, well, it's a matter. And we also gave treasury on that to say, in terms of that process, we are not having any difficulty. Just to indicate on the irregular expenditure chain. So the irregular expenditure, as we indicated, the in terms of the treasury regulation, 16.8.3. So this is a universal finding chain that Auditor General and come up. What they do, they go to the database of DTI and check who are the directors of companies. So in that database, then they identify that there were officials within the department who have companies, who now then they have done this with another department, not with our department. So which is the part of the finding that they identified. To see if you've got the B&B, so it means that you come from Northwest, you have a resident that is empty because you are now stationed in Pretoria, then the people tend to then use that as a B&B. So which now they will be able to do business with a Northwest provincial government, which was not in a position to follow that in terms of our. So they say they are...
No, what is called? It's called throwing javelin. Who's throwing javelin? I throw it to you, throw it to me. Continue.
Yeah. No, just to clarify on that part. Honorable Chair, I think the main problem that we are encountering with the management of assets and compliance is that the department has not been good with the implementation of consequence management, which is one of the weaknesses that then made us to regress to this level, because there was no consequence, there was no evidence that we can provide to the Auditor General to say these are the steps that were implemented for the officials that were not able to perform their duties as required. So that is the lesson that we have learned, to say if we can't do this, it means that we can't change the current situation. So we'll then regress. So that is the commitment that as a management we made to the Deputy Minister and the Minister, to say one of the key performance areas for all senior management will be the management of their respective unit, which means that the 40% of the time that is spent in the CMC, it will be management. And one of the issues was consequence management, to say if there is any wrongdoing, there should be corrective measures that are implemented, that we are able to have a dissimilar process that we put in place. The measures for bit compliance, as I indicated, we have the decentralized approach. So which now, the branches, as we are structured, they share their own procurement. So the first thing that they will then prioritize is for the service, and the progress on the compliance will be the last aspect that we consider, which becomes the problem of the CFO in terms of our report. So we then agreed that we centralize this approach. So all the procurement will be done from a central point. The people who are performing the function will then come and augment the team at the central unit in terms of that. There is an area that we still have challenge with basically in terms of what the PFA may require. So we have not gone to Treasury to request an exemption in terms of how we do procurement emissions, because emissions do not necessarily have all the requirements of SBD forms in terms of the declaration of interest, in terms of the tax clearance. We weren't able to find that. So now we then indicate to say how we then still have a framework on how we do our foreign procurement in terms of that. We then look at how we then plan better before we can implement. So we have a situation where, like the big summit that we then attended in Brazil. So it was hosted during the World Cup. So BRICS Summit was planned in terms of a program to take place in March before the World Cup. But the Brazilians really pushed it forward to July. So in terms of that, the accommodation will be based on what is available, and will not necessarily get a three quotation. That is the first thing to say. There are no three quotations that are given to us. We say this is the only hotel available, and when we book it, say the delegation who South Africa will then stay in this. And the mission, they pay their own procurement. So we have delegated in terms of financial management that in terms of the authorizing of the payment is done in mission, because it's in foreign currency. We don't even have to then request them to come in. But they come here to request approval in terms of such work, to say if not any bid processes that need to be done, it will be done with the participation of the mission, but the final authority will be granted from head office. So the procurement that we have done, for example, for Tokyo, is that one of the requirements from GTI is then encourage local procurement in terms of how we spend our money. So now, in terms of how we used to do this procurement in the past, especially for furniture, we used to buy furniture from Denmark, which through Peter Jensen, there was a company that was then supplying all the furniture in terms of a diplomatic status. So in Japan, they don't have type of furniture that we use. So in terms of how they use smaller chairs, which is very difficult for our members to be in. So those are the issues that... So that is the issue now. All what we're trying to do is say we need to then encourage local procurement, but we do cost-benefit analysis to today, how possibly would be in order to deal with those issues. Then the same is the ICT. Indeed, our ICT is very, very old in terms of how we deploy it. We deployed the current ICT in 2006. So we are currently then refreshing that in terms of getting the hardware equipment, then we go to the software application in terms of how we manage that. But one of the challenges that we encounter in terms of the ICT, because the ICT is a global platform, so we have most interest groups that we need to manage. And that is the issue of the security, which we are now investing. We are working with state security on how to improve that on a regular basis. To say we do have the minimum security devices that are provided by companies that are providing that, but we then need to have our own application in terms of another layer where we need to protect that. So we are working on that with the state security in order to improve that. But we have challenges in terms of the availability of bandwidth, especially in the continent, that there's no infrastructure that we, because the satellite, the technology available in the satellite effect, but we also have a challenge with regard to the power. If power goes, there's no connectivity. That is the part that we struggle. But we don't have an issue where in terms of locally recruited personnel, they've got limited movement in terms of how we design our security system. In terms of the information that is available to them, it's minimal. So unless if there is a coalition between the council staff that the risk that we have in terms of the association that they have in terms of that. And the monthly report, we welcome that in terms of assets that we have put this measure in place to say the reporting on assets is no longer a side issue. So it is part of the monthly return that we receive with our mission account for mission, so that we can then run this within an integrated approach, not to have a single part. The audit, Chairperson, we engage with the auditor general a lot, and the assistant staff, but there is in terms of how they conduct their audit, there are certain standards that they must comply with. So if now an auditor is on the ground, we're able to determine what tests they should then perform for them to satisfy their outcome. But they always caution us to say, in terms of the risk, if they see this, they are not having conclusive evidence in terms of how we have managed the risk. They will then put a risk to the department, to say the department must carry that risk, so that they can able to then not to have their work reviewed and find that they are not able to come to a correct conclusion. So they say they can air their parts, but the risk must go to the department. So when they raise the capacity to say they can't be in a position to do all this. So one of the issues, Chairperson, in terms of the audit that we've just concluded was the issue of the internal audit. We didn't have an effective internal audit within the department, which is one of the areas that also contributed on that. So the process that in terms of the chief audit executive was then posted to another country. So we have President FT, which is not functioning optimally. So but the audit committee is working with the team to then make sure that they are able to do their function. So I think that is the part that, and the payment for the funeral, for the state funeral. What we have reported here is not the payment of the supplier. Is the payment that should go to the departments that we facilitate in terms of what the service that was rendered by VIP police in terms of taking care of the heads of state. They receive overtime, they receive all this. So it is paid by the department, but they need to claim that from us, which they have not done that in terms of settling that matter.
You just park there in terms of some questions, Mkhalaba?
Even that was appropriate to. Do we know which departments were jointly responsible on this one.
Okay. Montan?
I'm just thinking, Director Chair, what the CFO says is this money was paid by the department, and the department must still pay back DERCO. No, you must pay them. David? Okay, so this overspending is what is so due to the other department. Oh,
yeah, I was saying why, because our DG, okay, maybe your DG, sits in the Fossat. Why hasn't the DG raised this matter in the Fossat? You guys must pay this money so that you can pay, otherwise you're sitting with the money that belongs to other departments and belongs to court. And audit is a problem for you. So I was, why?
I'm just, my understanding is that before the funeral happened, the department was already in the DERCO, but it now has to look after the heads of state and all of that. Now, the only one is going to refund the other department, which now did the service for it, is to claim, is to seek relief from, say, finance, so that it can then have that money on to the other department. This is a situation that is extremely worrying from my point of view. We can't, if the Department of Foreign Affairs, international relations cannot look after it and doesn't have available cash to deal with its immediate needs. That way you're going to say to the other guy from India, you fly in and we'll pay you next year. That's a disaster.
Oh, I see. The rate that we're talking about is 116 million shortfall. It has unleashed responses, Khadebe followed by Italian, but then we will respond and say what? Hello.
Thank you, Sir President. It is that from the report given by the CFO, it is that it was going to request by audit coming today. So the issue is, did you alert the Auditor General's office about the dilemma you are in? Because I think one of the things that you must be proactive of that, you must be able to provide proof that, you know, you demanded the claims from those guys who didn't submit them on time, so that when they evaluate your book, it does not come back against you. Because it is around December, it's August, I know what the best day is.
The funeral of the late Home President was an unintended event. Now, does the department have a budget like for this kind of thing, or is it Treasury's responsibility? Because it's a multi-department project that I understood. Why would DERCO be sitting with the burden of it? If you can just give clarity on that.
Over to
you. Thank you, Chair. I think I need to correct something. I think I made something incorrectly. The expenditure that sitting as a whole spending on inauguration, on the funeral, is purely what department spend in terms of its services. For its services, in terms of providing protocol services, in terms of the visiting head of state, in terms of which include transportation and accommodation. Yeah. So now the money in terms of this, there was no money received from Treasury, and we don't have any contingency in our budget. So we don't have the contingency. So if there's any unforeseeable event, we'll be still carrying what we call unauthorized expenditure. So which is basically in terms of the work that we do. So we don't have that budget. And indeed the one for the other department is the presidential inauguration. So now the presidential inauguration, we had a task team which was chaired by the DG in the president, the Secretary of Cabinet, in terms of how we can deal with it. So in terms of the same area of work, we have got different directories, which is now presidency, is also part of that. So now we have then sent letters to them in terms of the constitution. Now Auditor General will have evidence to say we have then indicated. And one of the conditions was that if they don't submit this before the end of September, it means that the expenditure that is incurred in their budget, they will then absorb it in the allocation. There won't be any claim that the department will then entertain, because the money was not appropriated to us, was not appropriated to other departments. So that is the condition. That is
Deputy Minister.
Chair, just you see, the Honourable Kalyan asked the question, why Dhaka? It's a fair question. Part of it was answered by Ms. Ramachal. It involves visiting heads of state. The Honourable Kalyan is quite correct. We all knew that at some point late former president would pass on. But, you know, within our culture, you don't plan for a wedding, for a funeral, I believe. It's insulting. Yes, it's true. It's really, you just don't do it. But again, Mr. Ramachal touched on it, hit us and through you. DG in the presidency is tasked with drafting a it's called a funerals policy. It's funerals for heads of state, deputy presidents, ministers, deputy ministers, chief justice, judges, presidents, and so on. Because what we've learned from this, and regrettably we had to learn when late Nelson Mandela passed on, but what we've learned from this is that, fine, you can't plan for a funeral, but you should have certain policies in place. And things like the issues raised by Mr. Ramachal, what happens now when Dhaka has this huge debt that it has to pay? Those are all the things that must be contained in that policy document which is being drafted at present. And the experiences learnt from this funeral will hopefully assist us when the next one happens, and I hope I'm not around when it does happen. It may include, Chairperson, as Professor Maloka said, it may include creating a special dedicated fund for that purpose, so that my poor CFO and the DG are not required to come here now and explain why all this is happening. It happens, and when it happens, they were lumped with problem. You are responsible for this. And they had to find the money. And that's the unfortunate reality.
Thank you. But I think we're happy that you're saying we're going to draft a policy to inform and guide us in this regard. I want to invite you, Mr. Ramachal, now for a presentation on the third quarter expenditure outcome. And this time, not talking about sizes of assets in Japan. On a light note, I was appointed principal of a high school in 1988, and I was shocked in timing. I went to buy a t-shirt at Edgar. My wife and me, we found this one, a t-shirt at the boys' department. It was even written, boys 14 and 18, and it fitted me so very well. We had to cut this label because it couldn't be written boys for a principal. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. The report that we have bought in terms of the budget is 5,754 million in terms of the appropriated funding, and the projected spending that we had planned for 3 months was 1.4 billion, and then we have done spent 1.3 billion. So this is the, in terms of administration, this is where in terms of where we are sitting 72%, and international relations 101%, which then include the foreign exchange impact in terms of the budget already. Because the current budget rate that we've allocated with Treasury is 9.52 to a dollar. So currently already more than 10.50. So it means for each and every dollar that we spend, the department's budget short by a rand, which will have an impact in terms of how we then service education, more especially on the fourth quarter. So this is where we have the challenge, if there's more improvement on the performance of the rand. But we have then requested Treasury to then relocate the rate. But the challenge is that we are doing mathematics, because we don't know what will be the final outcome of that. But we pray that the rand should then improve, so that we then be in a position to accomplish whatever we have put in our EPP in terms of the budget. So that is a major risk that we deal with on a daily basis in terms of how we should then treat this. So this is the, which also affects the transfer payments. The transfer payments that we have paid already is SADC. So now when we pay the assessment for SADC, it's in US dollars. So we then pay, even though we pay the assessment in Botswana, but our budget for all these organs are dollar denominated. So they are not denominated based on our currency. So we still go to New York to make payment in Botswana. So that is how we then manage this in terms of the process. So that's the spending, in terms of the allocation, we say 10%, 10.4% is lower than expected. But when we project, Chair, one thing which is in terms of this now continues, that when we prepare our plan, we then put a continuous of 10% in terms of the money that we draw, so that we can be able to deal with the issues that come. Like, for example, the department is busy with the facilitation of the peace process, maybe to go to special envoy, and this was not part of our plan. So, but we should be able to be financing that when it comes, when the need arises for that process to take place. So that is the issue that we deal with within the budget. So if you look at program one, the compensation of employees, this is basically the process that we have paid 85 million, what we have requested 90 million. This is based on the vacancies that we do have within the department. And the goods and services, this is one of the contributing first in terms of the low spending, is a project for ICT that we are dealing with the refresh. We have awarded the contract, but in terms of the payment, we then pay the service provider after they delivered, because we will not necessarily pay them before they deliver in terms of that project. So they will not necessarily deliver and we will not pay the money. And then the capital assets, this is on the basis of our, we've got three projects that are currently running that we have pushed in the last financial year. It's a renovation project in The Hague, the Netherlands, the building of a new chancery in Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, as well as a chancery in Lilongwe, Malawi, but also three apartments that are building within that. So we have got the payment of this based on progress statement, and we work with public work, the professional, to give us the progress payment so that we can able to charge the payment. And there was some delay in terms of the progress made in terms of the adverse weather conditions in those in Addis, in Darabanda, as well as the normal in terms of that progress. So I indicated in terms of the fixed property. Program 2, this is our main program in terms of bilateral engagement with other countries, which we have Africa, in terms of the appropriate amount for the first quarter. We have the projected amount, which is 521, and the actual spending, that part. So we have spent 85%, we will correct the 500, it's not the true reflection of what we have withdrawn. The Asia increase, this is where we have paid. One of the issues, Chairperson, that wants to indicate the cost driver in this program is has to do with the servicing of our lease accommodation. So in lease accommodation, we then pay in terms of contract 1 day in advance. So which means that there are different types, it's not your linear expenditure in terms of your monthly payment that you save. So the contract that you sign, you then pay that in 1 year in advance, which then will have different strength over the years. Same applies to the America is encouraging, because what we say is we shall be so that the Europe is basically the strength of the euro in terms of where it is sitting now, because majority of the spending is the euro in terms of our Roman expenses. The next part is the program 3 in terms of the which is page 27 in terms of the sub-program that we have, this global system of governance, which is talks about our UN engagement. So we have two missions here that fall under this category, which is our mission in Europe, a permanent mission, as well as our mission in Geneva, which deal with the human rights issues, which this is expanding in terms of what we have committed. And the continental cooperation, this is basically our AU-NEPA programs that are grouped together under this, in terms of this, this spending. And the South-South cooperation, this is now the BRICS, each of them fall under this category in terms of the work that we do around that. And the North-South cooperation is our EU-Africa partnership in terms of what we do around that. The EU, in terms of the spending, we have spent a lot of money around that. But the overall, this is one of the small entities, because the budget program, the budget is less than half a billion. So the program too is more than 2 billion in terms of that budget. Then the program 4, which is our state protocol in public diplomacy. The public diplomacy, the appropriated budget for year is 61 million and the projected for the 3 months was 18 million. And the spending is 12 million, which is just under 30%. So the spending on this is based on the program that we've approved. But because 2014 was the year of elections, so the most of the public participation program was then deferred 6 months after June, in order as part of a 2 years of celebration. Protocol, I already mentioned about that, the budget also included the amount for the inauguration, which now we are still waiting for the claims that come through, which is the deadline for that 30th September, so that we can able to factor in our justice estimate process how we then deal with any violence if there's a need to do that. Those are the key programs. And the last one is program 4, program 5, chairperson, in terms of the international transfers. The Department of Agency, we have the ARS, which is the agency, in terms of the 285 is the recapitalization, so that we have not yet transferred in terms of the area that should be attended in terms of how we sort out the issue of a secretary. Membership competition, as I indicated already, on overspending in terms of the salary contribution that we've made already. And there are time frames that we must make that. And this contribution, they go to the budget for a SADC secretary for them to operate. If we don't pay, then we will not be setting a good example in terms of what we want to achieve from the SADC. Chairperson, if we just to share the other part that wants to share in terms of the area that we committed to do the budget presentation was property acquisition strategy. So we want to then reduce our lease portfolio so that we can then look at the portfolio that will be owned more chancellor and official residence and few apartments where it's feasible. So we have then look at the areas which is chancellor's or offices. Official residence accommodation and currently has located 105 state-owned properties, and we have got approximately 700 properties that we manage. But in terms of the chancellor and other departments that are rented, they don't pay rent, which we understand in terms of the obligation that we have for the South African mission. So if we've got DTI, we are the ones who pay rent. So for them, they only come and pay the salary of the few official administration in the mission in terms of that part. And they don't have many assets. When they have assets, they transfer to the department and we take that risk in terms of taking their conduct going forward. So the property acquisition strategy, our aim is basically to increase our state-owned properties in locations that we feel that will be there for a foreseeable future. Look at New York, look at Geneva. Those are the centers who don't have any permanent representation. And especially when we've got our mission to be the permanent member of the Secret Council.
But one day you'll say.
No, we don't have one embassy in Ukraine. No, in terms of the Chancellor, we have no office there, we're entering. Okay. So the 30 parts will then include the life cycle of the project in terms of how we hire and how we do the long-term maintenance. Because one of the critical issues, we have all this portfolio that we have, the majority of them, they are more than 50 years. So, which is an inheritance. So it means that we require a lot of maintenance in terms of how we then renovate that. So what we do is that within our strategy, to say how the public, they don't do that abroad. So that is the responsibility that we do in terms of how we do renovation, refurbishment, as well as disposal. Because the issue is that when we dispose, we should be able to have money to then do renovation. Because currently, in our allocation, we have run about 260 million rand, which is basically we can't be able to do much of that in terms of the renovation. So all these are the issues that we are looking at, and the strategy as we want to develop a state on the state on land purchasing of property. We are currently a land that are not developed. In New Delhi we do have land in even in the one for Kinshasa for the horizon with that land for longer period. It's only now that we are developing it to come to then meet our family. And one of the issues that we've then what treasure they've agreed in principle to say we can then explore the option of finance lease so that we can then have funding that comes not necessarily through the appropriation where we then partner with business, but we can't be looking at the CPP because of equity risk to say we should be able to then see who they build within how see how best we maintain that. So we have done drafted a study that is submitted to Treasury and they've given us a new principle agreement that they want us to indicate in terms of the how we approach, how we're going to prioritize these projects. Because in terms of our availability, because if we've been looking for a property, we know for quite some time, we can't find it because there's nothing available at the moment. Whatever the available comes at each price in terms of that. So those are the issues we hope that we then have a strategy that gives the overall framework in terms of how we do our acquisition. And then we plan to finalize the framework by the third quarter of this financial year so that we have a framework on how to do that. And then we then engage professionals in terms of how we then develop a project and how we acquire those properties. The last part on our mission is the ARS. We just want to report on this. For the ARS, we have received an unqualified support in terms of the work that we've done, but indeed there are still matters of government in terms of how we structure that in terms of the project. So, page 29, these are the current projects that are currently monitored in terms of what the ARS provides for multi-year projects in terms of development. Which we put here the government of Malawi, we paid that was $8 million. We paid that in strategy, but there were certain things that they need to meet before we can release if there's any issue of maladministration, because the mission they monitor how the money is then dispersed. And then we also in the Sahel region, this is the part of the maternity that we've awarded in terms of the work that is done. The project was 250 million, but we only spent 133 million in terms of that. And then we also have the rice project in Guinea. Currently now the challenge in Guinea because there's the outbreak of Ebola, which is now a challenging aspect in terms of how we then proceed in terms of this project. As well as the participation of the observer mission, this is what the ARF assists in terms of the work that is in terms of how we observe elections that which we have done for few countries in terms of that process. And then the Cuba is one of the aid that we receive from DTI as a transfer function, it may be changed over to Cuba in terms of that money. So the paperwork was holding us in terms of how we should dispense that money to Cuba. And the total amount, one of the shares that has been allocated for approved projects, 1.1 billion, and currently in terms of what we have then opened was 555 million in terms of the budget. So, Chairperson, one of the issues that we want to report to the committee is how we relate with the SADBA, which we want to indicate that currently we are in the process of finalizing the process of presenting a tribunal how to then implement the new requirement in terms of what the ARF should provide. So that is the part in terms of how we monitor the project. The machines that are resident where the projects are, they monitor the project in terms of compliance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Namashao. Can I then invite comments from honorable members? Honorable Mkhalapa will be the first, followed by Muntani, with your head up. With up, followed by, let me invite you down. I'll note the hand. Go on.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think let me appreciate the fact of the property acquisition. At least it's moving towards sorting the issue of leasing vis-a-vis owning. And I think the strategy that we are dealing with is quite a very big excess of 500 million spent on rental budget and 710 properties. So I appreciate the fact that you are now having a aggressive strategy towards for reducing lease and going for property ownership. Well done on that one. On the ARF, I would want your guidance on how we're going to proceed on this one. If you recall when we had our budget preparation, there was a report that was sent, there's a report on the ARF, and then the deputy minister was undertaking to have it presented, and he said, no, let's wait first, it's irrelevant to our budget vote debate, let's wait. So because there are things that I want to engage on the ARF, but I don't want to engage them from an uninformed point of view. So I would want to have a informed discussion when it comes to the ARF. Already, yes, we've got an unqualified support, that's good, but there are matters of governance that have been reached. And I think those matters of governance speak to that report that is there. And I would want us to discuss that. So I would want guidance on how we're going to proceed on that one, because I would want to engage the ERF before it goes to start, but I want to engage it from a informed point of view. As you recall, we've been calling for all the projects under the ERF and everything. And because of there are issues of who decides this project, the committee of this, how are they, the criteria, who approves this thing. I think those are issues of governance that are raised in the Hutsat general report. So I would want us to discuss on that. But just on the technical aspect, you said it's 1.1 million appropriated. And I see amount spent December 2013, is it 6.1 billion or is it million? Is it million? And the 5.369 is a million. Okay, it's not, the only billion is 1.1. And then the amount appropriated for the outstanding medical fund is 277 million. So the question is, how does it get to a billion? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Muntan.
Thank you, Chair. I think I have similar questions around the fund. But in the main, I think it's just the fact that you said we would allocate time to go into the detail of the report with funding. I think that is decided with welcome by Chair. I think the only question I'm wanting to ask is the contract. that are signed and paid 1 year in advance. Do these contracts form part of the amount that results in the overspending? And what is it that results in terms of that currency fluctuation? Do the contracts for leases also form part of that? Just for clarity, James. Thanks.
To Honorable Rapuchi.
Minister, I didn't thank you for the comment that you did when you opened the meeting. However, you said that in that day, Honorable Minister Kadebe said that who is foolish. So we should really say that I think that Ramashaw is doing a brilliant job. You know, we can see that he is really putting everything in place to ensure that, you know, the finances, especially the finances, are in good hand. It is only things that are not, you know, tangible that he cannot be able to manage. But, you know, when a person is too good, we should really give him a hand for growth, finances. And coming to the, I don't want to come to the transfer, you know, this international transfer and payment. It's negatively affecting your budget, which in my opinion, it's 2013 and 2014, it was higher than now, and you are already in red. So what measurements are you going to do? Despite of the volume of the rent, but why did it go down? If you can see, 2013-2014, it was, you know, why it went down. And on the issue of, I said that most of the buildings, they are aging. They're old, and as a financial person, on the issue of seeing young people, did you put also in place that it is an opportunity for young South Africans to be able to tap on that environment, especially going to, to renovate or put a specialist in those offices. I just wanted him to check what is the standard operating procedure. I'm staying in Acacia Park. I know that in the kitchen there is a fridge, there is this and that and that. So the custodian, when they occupy those offices, Do they have, you know, like things like a paper that says that I found this and that and that, so that we can be able to account, you know, properly. And on you told us about the case. I don't think that why should a place be part of an asset, especially a complaint. Why should we still buy that kind of, you know, is it for career or not? Should we have to do that? And put it as an answer, because we know that it's going to break. I'm just giving, you know, an advice that in as much that we should be able to buy our own cutlery, crockery, and then why can't those people be given money to buy such things? They should get out of the asset register. Thank you.
Honorable, my son is much younger than you, but when you say he's going to break, he just got a we're going to throw it away. Aramaya.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me welcome the presentation. And you will pardon me, Chair, if I'm going to be out of order, but I feel I don't know where else can I ask this question.
our focus has been on the number of missions that we have as a country abroad. I just want to check, how many missions do our country have in South Africa? How many of those missions have acquired property in this country? How many? Is it relevant to this department? If it is not, where else can I get the answer? Thank you.
Honorable Khatere. No, I didn't know you. So the Honorable Khatere, Honorable Khatere.
All right, thank you, sir. I want to go to the issue of the IRS financial thing, because I can see that the approved amount, the concurrent, which is an approved amount, I think that, but when you look at the opening on the 3rd of April 2014, there's an amount allocated to that. There's amount spent as of the December 2013, and then there's a balance. In some of the columns, there are imbalances there. Can you explain those? I can make any support. You can see that on October 8th, 100 million approved as the concurrent open balance, 100 million, and then because there was no expenditure, it is still 100 million. But when you go to the other columns, it does not balance out. Thank you.
Well, can you?
Chairperson, thank you. I think Chairperson not to say in a right speech because you don't see all of us. Maybe first time you're supposed to see all of us, you should have a that you can see. Because even as a first relation, I lifted and lifted and lifted my hand. Thank you. Thank you for the explanation. I think on the issue of, I'm not going to start on the first one, but it's already discussed. But my question now, I want to please take one. Why is there on the program, for? You are talking about the low spending due to the operation. And you say that it is due to non-submission of claims by other departments. Now, what is the notion that if you pay the money, there is also a low spending in the absence of the same thing. Now I'm concerned about this low spending. Especially that now you are carrying and you have brought a funding mechanism on that you said that there's a principle approval by the national treasury to get into financial issues. My question is that now that it is low spending in 2021 and 2021, what kind of measures are there in place so that again even when they follow up to these departments who don't pay, because the problem is that if I look at what H21, I look into the asset catalog, which is going to be implemented in October 2014, they're going to have a problem if you want to be sure that your service delivery improvement plan, you should develop this working. How are you going to develop? Because now you want to implement some of these measures to care within this problem. Otherwise, to my understanding, if you continue and now you get, although you say that you have this unqualified audit, which you relax then until you get a qualified one. So now I'm worried about this funding mechanism you are going to get, because it will also get into the same problem, being that now it is difficult for you to get now an audit. Now that you put there, so I'm worried now that if you say you are going to take this risk, are you not overloading now that you have this low spending? And secondly, I'm concerned about the non-compliance of the leaders because they are also of the contract. Because also they need to comply with the regulations, total regulations. So now, if they don't produce the contract or the declarations, what is there about that? Because the one that can deal with the officials participating in them. And now I'm talking about the leaders who do not submit, because that is also non-compliant. What have you done about those? Because even if you say you are going to be tracking, but where are they now? Are they still in the contract, in the middle of the contract, and towards the end of the contract, so that when you make the tracking system,
you see that there are aspects of this problem. And you say that like maybe some of them have been hidden, those contacts of the guys. So I think also because they also supposed to comply with the regulations, even though they are not official, as they got the call and some of the contracts without declaring.
Thank you, Honorable Kenya. From the chair, I think we are noting that in the various programs, the expenditure is not the same, it's uneven. There is only one program where there is even overexpenditure. I think it's except in program 2, where it's about 28%. So I think we are noting that. But with regard to the building of property, what I was going to ask, well, I am amenable to the decision that indeed we could build property somewhere. I mean, the United States has got a very big country, yes. But in countries where we've got long-term diplomatic relations and long-term interests, I was saying Ukraine because in a very unstable environment, your property could be nationalized without compensation. Honorable Montana. That's all I like, no? No, that's on a light note. Very light note. Yeah, but the point I'm making, you must not lose the point I'm making, it is that I don't think the department has got the expertise and capacity to say, yeah, we can build this type of property, this size, without some kind of study by a department like Public Works. The soil conditions, the climate, and all of those things. Someone must guide the department. Then of course must be. So I was going to ask whether you are going to work with the department. That's the only thing I was going to ask. I now fully appreciate the challenge of the foreign exchange. The department will forever be mired in this challenge. I think Treasury is going to put some contingency funds all the time. Already in this very first quarter, you are in the rain. Going to put something all the time to bail the department out. I mean, it's not the making. It's the whole international environment. Many small countries or developing countries will always have the challenge with regard to the relationship between the dollar, the euro, and the other currencies. Mukharapa, I suspect that I should answer now. You remember that my ruling in that particular committee was that the issue of the ARM belongs to the 2012-2013 financial year. And that what was before us then was the 2013 and 14 matter. So I promise that we must invite the minister after budget votes and the EPCs are done. I think now is the time that we must invite the minister to come and walk us through the whole government of the ARF together with the officials who are in that environment within the ARF so that we can discuss it effectively with the minister. So, Deputy Minister would want to have the minister plus the DG plus whoever is in this environment so that we just discuss the whole ARF. Remember also, we're going to migrate from the ARF into SARPA. What are the provinces there? I think if we determine, I sense that it must be an issue-based meeting, just on this one. Meet the minister, then we discuss thoroughly and then what are the things. Yeah. Does it take care of your concern about Mahala?
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. It does take care of my concern. I think the only thing left is the devil in the details. What is the time frame? When can we have that interaction so that the Deputy Minister has got a clear indication?
No, the letter will not come from the deputy minister, it will come from me to invite the minister and indicating the subject. It must be at the earliest possible time, but the minister who got Nairobi for foreign affairs, you know, the thing, they're in and out of the country. But you must try to give a priority to come and have a discussion. So the meetings are different days, or in the letter we'll say at the earliest possible, at the earliest possible convenience. Maybe we must say not later than. Thank you. What is the department? Deputy Minister?
Chair, Mr. May, Honourable Minor asked about the number of embassies we have in abroad and the number of embassies that are here. I'm going to give you the information, but I'm taking it from the department's website. If honourable members want to take note of the website, there's a lot of information on the website that you can easily access. The website address is dfa.gov.za. DFA because it used to be Department of Foreign Affairs. Now, to answer the Honourable Maila's question, South African representatives abroad, number of embassies and high commissions, according to this, is 4. Consulates and consulate general, 15. Honorary consulate general, etc., 84. Other, that's liaison officers, 2. Non-resident accreditation, 68. And we belong to 9 international organizations. The other side of the coin, foreign representation in South Africa, embassies and high commissions, 123. Consulates, consulate generals, 53. Honorary consulate generals, 79. Other, that is liaison officers, 1. Non-resident accreditation, 18. And the number of international organizations present here is 35. Just a quick response to the Honorable Narapusi's question about the assets, particularly plates and the golden plate. That you can't get away from. It's a requirement of the law. PMA, Treasury Regulations, Auditor General Act, they say those are assets bought with taxpayers' money and they have to be counted. Even if it's one place, but of course Professor Maroka reminded me that we have 125 embassies abroad. And if we must buy crockery for all the embassies, then in terms of that amount, bulk, it comes to a lot. But if one plate breaks, I agree with you, it seems to make sense to go to the nearest factory shop and just buy a replacement. But unfortunately, in government, it doesn't work like that. They are required to get quotations. For that one plate that broke, let's get 3 quotations. It sounds ridiculous. I myself have experienced that, but it doesn't help tearing your hair out and going grey. That's just the way it is. Thank you, Chair. I think Prof. Maloko wants to add a small...
It's just a small thing.
Yes, thank you.
So, as far as I know, our missions are organized in accordance with international practice of protocol. The seating arrangement, the number of chairs, the size of the rooms, the reception areas, and so is our club. I buy cutlery from Mr. Price, but I'm not sure that our mission is buy cutlery from Mr. Price. I think there is a certain level of cutlery. So the cutlery we're talking about is if one of one, I know that the clubs are crystal, it's crystal, so if one breaks, it's quite a lot of money from the point of view of the South African system. So, and if you look at the economies of scale, and if there are hundreds and hundreds of them, it's quite a big, can be a chance. So it's important that we keep accurate records in our address and account for the other.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair. The question regarding the RF amount, which is 1.4 billion, the RF is a public entity. So every year, whatever money that remains, it keeps the bank. So it's a public entity. So whatever amount that is remaining, it is retained within the fund. So currently we are sitting at 1.5 billion in terms of that. And that was the part of when they start by established, that money was then used to Egypt and Africa. Yeah, 1.5 billion. The contract in terms of the advances that we pay, the receipts, the challenge that we have, we are working in the environment externally in Africa and Asia, that there are fewer supplies of property. And we normally we enter the contract for 4 years in terms of the official that are transfer stuff. And for a chancellor, we enter for 5 years with the option to renew for another period. So now the requirement in the past, we need to pay 4 years in advance. Then negotiate, we face that up to 2 years in advance. Now we pay 1 year in advance, but we are still negotiating with other leases to say we should then pay quarterly so that we can able to then, they don't have a landlord who receives money and then disappear, that there's no maintenance that is provided to the state. So, but the, all these contracts are in foreign currency. So they've got a foreign exchange rate exposure. So if the rent is depreciating, then this contributes immensely in terms of the foreign losses that we get. Because we have to pay with the financial implication, and it also has to do with the reputation of the country in terms of us not honoring the commitment that we have concluded. Then the, in terms of the aspect, we welcome the advice, but the part that we want to give is that what we also identify, because we have the list in terms of inventory and the handing over report. That was the part that we are not necessarily enforcing in terms of staying the evidence. We're getting a certificate and we're saying everyone is then compliant, because everyone who is posted abroad, they have got a certificate. So we're moving from that basis. But anyone who receives a top PRM certificate should definitely be above board in terms of why they report back to the headquarters. So that is the basis of that. And the low spending in terms of the inauguration, so we have signed memorandum of understanding with this department that they receive money. So the accounting officers from both departments, if you look at presidency and the DECO, they will sign a memorandum of understanding in order on what is the money that was appropriate to DECO, how it should be spent. And that was based on the budget that was submitted to us, because this is the area, and we then have a CFO forum while we talk managing how we need to deal with that, as well as the compliance with the rules and regulations in terms of the PFME. So we have that mechanism. The funding mechanism. So the funding mechanism is still a strategy in which we are still developing, and we take the advice in terms of priorities, which countries that will then be present for the foreseeable future. We take into account the local laws in terms of any expropriation that can be done without compensation to see how we manage that in terms of that. So we are mindful of that in terms of how we move. The big process which I explained earlier, that the non-compliance was basically for procurement that we've done in terms of below the threshold of 200,000. So that was done by committees in branches. So which means that they were not giving emphasis in terms of that, but we are mindful of responsibility of supply chain in terms of that, because there we have centralized the order process. And this is the part that we have managed in terms of how we deal with that, in terms of that. The expenditure for ARF, the permission of honor to chair, because the director to talk to the figure in terms of what is the breakdown very quickly.
Are you the chief director? Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. My name is Henry Mbengo. When we look at African Renaissance Fund on page 39, the approved amount per concurrent is talking to the initial amount that was approved for the project. But you will all recall that these projects are multi-year projects. So when we look at what is the opening balance, is what we are saying from the years that from the amount that we approved initially, how much we open this in the current year. And then the columns after the opening balance are looking to the actual spending in the current year. the apologies for December. December is I think it was a typing error. But what we are saying is from the opening balance of the current year, how much the department has spent in the first quarter, and then the balance is looking to what is currently available at the end of the first quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No text. Ramachau, are you done? Follow up.
Yeah, my grandma's teacher about that contract.
Which contract?
No, the CFO was speaking on the issue of the contract being fixed. My question was around the point whether those contracts form part of the overspending, or the currency fluctuation. I don't know. Let me just find a page so I can help you.
The British are the ones that contribute to the overspending, because the contracts are concluded in Doha.
You know why I raised that point? If the contract is paid in a year at a fixed rate, why are we overspending if it's paid in advance? Because that fluctuation of the currency is not affecting it. In my understanding here, if you say that the contract is paid in advance, it means that at the current rate that we are at now should be the amount that it is paid, and it's a one-off payment. How then is that currency fluctuation affecting an advance payment if we're not thinking about what mechanisms we can put in place in advance? I'm asking for clarity, Chair. Thanks.
Ramachau?
No, no, Chair. No, I get the question. The contracts are all concluded in foreign currency. For example, in Ghana, the contract that for a year, which is, let's say, $10,000 per month in terms of, but the payment is paid each month in advance, which would mean that we need to pay $120,000. So that is what we've concluded. But the foreign exchange rate fluctuation comes between Treasury and ourselves. When we agree on the budget, we agree to say the budget for the year, which now the rate which I indicated is 950. So but now the current, because how we account, the accounting part, so we must then account when that money is released, not on what we budgeted for. So that is the accounting policy that we've taken today. We account all our expenditure at the current prevailing exchange rate. We don't use the budget rate to account. As you have this shortfall.
Okay, so the other countries do the same when they conclude contracts with South Africa, right? Paid in South African rand with the other foreign missions in our country. US dollar or the standard, or I think. But put it, they got a margin.
Yes, I just wanted. You know, the membership is you are paying membership contribution, and which are those membership, and how much, and how long? You know, if we can just get, it's not here, but if we can be able to get that kind of information. Okay, thank you.
No, I can say we have listed all the membership that we said to the secretary. In terms of the list. So the list that we have, which I think another member asked, was why the rate, why the budget for the membership is going down as compared to the last. So the way we, as I indicated, the budget rate that we have agreed, because we agree with Treasury, and Treasury comes to this conclusion based on a microeconomic trajectory. To say the way saying that for the 2014-15, the rand will improve. So which means that how they projected. They were not projecting that the rand will worsen. So which then will affect their macroeconomic outlook in terms of housing. So all their future projections don't have basis of the fact that the performance of the rand
will improve over time. Which now will give the investor confidence in terms of bringing the risk.
Thank you very much, Mr. Masao. We now come to the end of this engagement, the presentation of the fourth quarter financial report and the first quarter financial report of expenditure outcome. Indeed, we would like to thank the Deputy Minister and the staff of the department for gracing of attending this meeting. We have had a very constructive engagement arising from the presentation. I would imagine that the next phase would be to look at the minutes and the issues that have arisen from the legislature. With regard to announcement, which is the last item, we wrote a letter, I wrote a letter to Honorable Chair of Chairs, Frolic, to allow us to attend the conference of the department next week, Monday to Friday, from Monday to Friday. We have not yet been responded to. It is my anticipation that he may allow some, he may say like some in the committee may attend, because there are still businesses of Parliament next week. I'm not sure. But the earlier the better. So we may need to interact with the office of Afrolink so that we can say to the department, so and so will be coming from Monday. Could be the whole week, could be next Monday, Tuesday, I'm not sure. But it would also be good that the committee does not come at all. It would not also be a good sign. But I think I need to engage another forum. Yeah, on that note, I would like to thank the department and also thank the honorable members and thank the staff for a very good meeting. The meeting is adjourned. There are some members who left a little bit earlier on. They are preparing speeches this afternoon, including the memorial service of Dr. Anderson. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.